Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Rich Wilson, and welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And I cannot believe it. We have 14 days left in the season. We're here pretty much every Sunday of the year, whether it's on season or off season. And I got to tell you, it's such a long grind to get to the season. And the season arrives and you're all excited. You get to the middle of it. It's a long grind in the middle of the season. And then it's over. It just seemed like we had the trading deadline a week ago. And here we are with 2 weeks left. I hope you guys are all doing quite well in your teams. I've got some teams that are doing quite well. I got some teams that stink. And that's probably like a lot of us that are out there. But it's been a fun season. Another strange season as power has kind of dominated the narrative. I'm looking at Didi Gregorius. I'm watching the Yankee game today. He missed a lot of time. He's a 30-35 home run guy. I mean, Didi Gregorius weighs at what, 170? And yeah, he's got some whippy bat speed, but I never saw him being a power guy. In fact, I always thought he'd be a kind of a utility player. So he's exceeded my expectations big time. But who saw 30 home runs with this guy? Who saw 30 home runs with Eddie Rosario? He hit two home runs today. I think he's up to 26 or 27. It's a good chance he gets 30 or comes close to 30. Just weird stuff. I mean, I can't believe what the game has become. And, you know, 20 home runs is, you know, the old 10 home runs. And when you're trying to figure out how good your team is, you really need to take a look at it that way. And if a guy is going to get you less than 10 home runs, he is just, you know, he's just not somebody that you might want to consider for a position, unless he's going to get you stolen bases or something else that's going to help. And, you know, you hear that discussion and then you realize just how bad of a year that Miggy Cabrera had. And, you know, Albert Pujols has got, what, 22, 23 home runs. And, you know, that's close to league average from a home run standpoint. And he's your designated hitter. You begin to question how much longer he will be rostered in leagues as well. So lots of stuff to discuss with Tim, starting to already turn our attention to 2018. We'll help as much as we can. Help you guys through the remaining 2 weeks. We'll look at two-star pitchers. We did that last week. Lots of feedback from everybody that was very helpful. And we'll also talk about some players to pick up and just some final strategy items that you guys might want to consider here in the last 2 weeks. But a lot of it is just picking up somebody who's hot, hanging on if you're in a rotisserie league, and it's, you know, you're close in ratios on pitching or close in ratios on batting average. You gotta play those odds and figure out what to do. If guy's got two start week, he's going up against a strong team. You might want to sit him. So if you're afraid that your ratios drop, a few points, and that kind of drops you in the standings. So you just have to kind of keep that in mind. If you want to get a hold of us, you can do that a bunch of different ways. You can go out to our Facebook page, Prospect. It's P361, the bullpen. P361, the bullpen. You can obviously go out and rate and review us on iTunes. Simply go out there and do that. We haven't had any reviews this entire season. I kind of wonder if anybody's actually listening. I know you are because I see the downloads every week. And, of course, if you want to get a hold of myself, at Rich Wilson P361, at Rich Wilson P361 on the Twitter. Mr. McLeod, good evening.
Good evening, Rich. How goes the battle? How is the recovery coming along?
My recovery, just for people who are in the know or not in the know, I had a little hernia surgery a week ago tomorrow, Tim, Monday at 10 o'clock. And it was they said it was minor surgery, which it was. I had no pain when I got home from the from the hospital, or I guess the outpatient center The next day it was a little sore. The next two or three days, a little sore, Timmy, mm-hmm. and I could not take the OxyContin they gave me. It just made my heart race. I didn't feel good on it. So I took one dose of that and I said, Tylenol, I'll try the extra strength Tylenol. And I've kind of muscled through with that for the rest of the recovery. So I think it probably slowed me down a little bit, but today I walked about a mile, which was, you know, good. My legs were a little jello-y like when I got back into me, I was tired. But you know, I think I'm over the worst of it and on the mend.
Oh, that's good, Rich. And, you know, just to show you what a true friend I really am, I did not take, okay, that Mike Trout for Leonis Martin offer, okay? I couldn't do that to you, my friend. No way.
Yeah, it was funny. One of the things they told me is don't make any major decisions in the first 24 hours because you're on all this stuff, Timmy. And let me tell you, the sedative they gave you. So they put you up to an IV, then they inject some sedative in. And Timmy, you could feel it coursing through your veins within seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Timmy, I was on a happy planet, man. And I was feeling really, really good. And it took 4 or 5 hours for that stuff to wear off when I got home. And believe me, any kind of bad trade, I was looking at it going, oh, what the hell? Leonis Martin from Mike Trout, that sounds really good.
Oh, yeah. No, I can remember when they put the stent in and just a series of hot flashes and lights flashing. And then I woke up, and which was a good thing. But, I mean, yeah, when they get those sedatives and they drop them through an IV, they put you into a whole different world real quick, don't they?
Yeah, it's funny because, Timmy, I'm not the most verbose guy. I play one on television, so I can perform when I need to, and I spend a lot of my life performing and talking and being out in the public and doing the show and so forth. But in general, I hate like chit chat and like talking with people. It's just not my thing. And every time I've had any kind of procedure, whether it's a colonoscopy or this procedure, Lori, my wife, tells me I become the chattiest person alive. I'm talking with everybody, telling them my entire life story, which is completely not like me.
Well, I was going to say, if nothing else, it must provide Lori with a good chuckle, right?
She said, yeah. She said, you were telling people we were looking for a beach house, and you were telling what we were looking for. He goes, and they were just looking at you going, uh-huh, uh-huh. Like, what does this have to do with anything? And I'm like, I have no idea. So it's just the way it is, man.
Oh, yeah. I can relate. I still remember the kid from the medevac when they flew me in, asking me what I thought about the Jays making the playoffs. And I said, no, when I said no way, he looked down at me and said, we're out of here. Nothing we can do for you. Pretty funny stuff sometimes.
Yeah. Pretty funny stuff. And Tim, at the end of the show, I will share what I shared with you, my public service announcement for anybody who any man, which is most of the people that needs to go through a hernia surgery. It's a public service announcement, Timmy, at the end of the show, a little blue. I'll describe some, what's the best way to put it? Some potential side effects that I was unaware of and were a bit shocking.
Well, yeah, I could see where coronary arrest could end up coming into play in that series of events, Rich. I really could. You're doing people a favor here, a big one.
If you got a hernia coming up tomorrow, you might want to fast forward to the end of the show, because there's definitely something you need to know about that I wish I would have known. So, Timmy, how was your week, my friend?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad at all, Rich. Went down, visited the in-laws on Friday, went out for supper. It was a nice evening. And baseball-wise, it's funny because as I improve in tote, and I've pretty well maxed out, I think I'm finishing 11th. I got no side chance at 10th. So I've worked hard and I've pulled myself up. But as I improve in tote, every other team that I own sucks. So I'm playing for 11th and 1 and going in reverse in all the others. So somehow that doesn't make sense, but it definitely it is what it is, right?
And tout, now you were trying to make, was it 75 points so that you could keep your full cadre of fab for next year? Are you going to make that?
No, I'm not going to make it, but I'm going to finish in a point where it's not going to be a huge difference. I can live without $100 worth of fab. I'm just happy with everything that's occurred this year. and the horrendous spate of injuries on that. I'm just happy that I'm up. Looks like I'm closing into the 60 to 70 range, which that leaves me fairly happy considering everything, Rich.
Tim, the kind of year you've had, my friend, we're just glad that you're finishing these leagues that you're in. I mean, I'm just happy that you're going to see the end of the season. So who cares how you finish? So there's always next year.
Yeah, and you know what? I came up with, I thought was a real clever line. I put it up on the Facebook page, Rich. I got to give a shout-out to Ken Cronstadt because he's the only person that commented on my attempt to humor. But did you see Gibson's performance today for the Twins?
I did not. I watched a lot of games. I was tracking that, and I know the Twins won big, but I did not see his performance.
Well, he sucked, Rich, okay? He
okay.
There's no other way to describe it. The Twins won 13-7, but Gibson allowed like 5 earned runs in the first inning. Okay. He actually pulled it back over the following innings. But I put up on the page, Gibson is giving his owners reason to fret, and nobody commented. What do you think?
Say that again. Gibson is giving his owners what?
Reason to fret.
Oh, of course, the Gibson guitar.
People didn't get that.
People didn't get that. Come on.
I know. I was going with the old SG standard on that one.
Absolutely. I don't know if you saw Matthew Boyd. He almost, poor guy, 2 outs in the bottom of the 9th inning, and he gives up the hit to Tim Anderson, a solid double to right field, and wound up with a one hitter, but a great game. And he's the guy, Timmy, that if you would have started, you're in a head to head league, you're loving life.
Well, I was going to say you're going to the bank tomorrow.
And who knew, Tim? I mean, you have to play these matchups, and the White Sox have been very hot. Tim Anderson's been very hot. Abreu has hitting the ball off the cover. I mean, the cover off the ball. It's a ball off the cover. The cover off the ball. So, and Yoan Moncada looks like he's been perking up over here over the last couple of weeks. Would you have thrown in any of your great wisdom, Timmy, Matthew Boyd against the Chicago White Sox?
Yeah, if 2-start pitcher this week. If I would have needed wins, there's very few pitchers that I wouldn't throw out. One is that kid that you keep bringing up on 2-star pitchers that I think you finally passed on this week. But other than him, there's, you know, unless you're in an incredibly tight situation in ERA and WHIP, even a bad blow up, you've got so many innings in there, it doesn't really swing things that badly, Rich. It really doesn't.
Yeah, I had a blow up with Taijuan Walker today, which I thought was a gimme going against the Giants. And it moved my ERA, I think, by 0.01. And, you know, so it didn't really hurt me. But, you know, there's a lot of things where people are 0.05 away from dropping 1 point if you're in a rotisserie league. So it depends. And if you're in a head-to-head league and you're starting all over on a week, it can hurt you as well.
Well, yeah, a lot depends on the format. If you're playing head-to-head, you've got to take a different approach. But I'd have to think that most head-to-head leagues are probably done this week. I know I saw one post up on the page that guy won his league today. I'd have to think most head-to-head is probably done by now, or if at the very latest next week.
I played in a bunch of head-to-head leagues up until last year. I stopped doing it, Tim. I just got so frustrated with the format. But I think you're right. They definitely finish up the first couple of weeks in September, which is right, because these next 2 weeks, Timmy, are tough. Teams are clinching, particularly in a lot of the runaway divisions. And it's going to be tough. Guys that you think are going to start aren't going to start. And so I guess my question to you is, what do you do? What's your strategy here for the next 2 weeks? Just hang on?
My strategy is to try and attack any categories where I have the potential to make gains. As far as pitching is concerned, I usually don't have a lot of concern about pitching simply because of the reasons that you mentioned with Taijuan Walker today. The odds of swings are fairly minimal. So I try and find players that are going to amass at bats. And you can find them even on teams like the Indians, a guy like Urshela, for instance. you know, they're going to be resting. They're going to be resting players, and you can take advantage of the fact that they are resting players, even on good teams. So the trick is to find the at-bats, find the innings pitched, and roll them out there. The frustrating thing is, you know, there are players like, you know, heading into the last Saturday, Sunday, if a Kluber is scheduled to pitch, or a Darvish, or a Kershaw, any big-name pitcher with a team going into the playoffs, you know that they're going to pitch in all probability, but they're probably going to go 2 to 3 innings, which doesn't help you one iota. So, you know, in redraft leagues, you've got to spend some time looking at that last week especially and trying, you know, hey, I'm not suggesting you cut Clayton Kershaw, but just be very aware, anybody pitching in the last couple of days, they're probably not going to go much more than 2-3 innings on a contending team.
I think that's very, very wise. And it's, you know, I think sometimes when you're playing a redraft league, it's a little bit easier because you'll look at some of these veteran players and go, well, gee, you know they're going to be rested. And all of a sudden, guys like Victor Robles starts to have a little bit more value here in the last week. But if you're in a dynasty league where you're basically full at the gills with guys in major league rosters, minor league rosters, not a whole lot you can do. You can't drop a Clayton Kershaw, who you know is going to pitch 2 innings at the on the last week, and pick up somebody else. You can't do that. So you're kind of stuck with the team that you came to the dance with.
Yeah, I'm looking at, you know, in DL2, I'm in a situation where I could use some more starting pitchers, but I'm not going to cut anybody because even if things break right, odds are still less than 50% of getting into the money. So I'm not gonna take a chance on destroying what I think is a very, very, say, good bullpen to pick up starting pitchers, because it's simply the odds aren't stacked in my favor. Now, if they are stacked in my favor, that's a whole different kettle of fish. But you're right, in dynasty leagues, you've got to be a little bit cautious heading into the last couple of weeks, because the decisions you make as far as who you're going to pick up versus who you're going to cut could have an impact for a year or two down the road, and measured risk.
Yeah, I agree. I'm in first in 2 dynasty leagues, DL2 and DL4. In DL4, I've got a 10-point lead, Tim, but it's like one of those 10-point leagues I don't feel good about, because the guy in second place has got a really good team, and he had a great offensive team, and he traded probably about 6 weeks ago, and he brought in Max Scherzer, who has not been very good, and Jake Arrieta, who has been injured a lot. So I've pretty much have dodged major bullets, but this guy with a good week of pitching could catch up to me, and I'm teetering on runs and home runs. I'm like right on the edge of dropping 3 or 4 points. I drop 3 or 4 points, he gains 3 or 4 points, and I'm kind of, you're in no man's land and you're stuck. So it's almost one of those things, Timmy, that I just feel like I just have to try to hang on. There's not a whole lot of moves I can make. I just have to pray that Trey Turner's up at bat right now, can score 3 or 4 runs next week and 3 or 4 runs the following week. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, no, basically that's all you can do, because obviously your team is going to be a strong team for a number of years. You're not going to start dismantling it. No, and you shouldn't have to. If everything breaks right, you're there. And if it doesn't, well, it's one of those, it happens, and there's nothing much that you can do about it. But you certainly can't dismantle teams, Rich. No, definitely.
Yeah, speaking of that team, one of the guys that led that team for the first 3 months of the year was Jake Lamb. I don't know if you've seen what Jake Lamb has done, because a lot of times if you don't own him, you're not tracking him as well as those who do. He's been absolutely brutal here in the second half. I mean, offers all over the place. My question for you is Jake Lamb really that good, or is he a 25-30 home run guy with a low batting average? Is that who Jake Lamb really is?
Well, you know, the problem with Jake Lamb is you want to trade him at the All-Star break, but now everybody's seen the trend, because this isn't the first time this has happened. This is the second year. I'm avoiding Jake Lamb. I don't own him anywhere, and I'm very happy to say that. He's posted great numbers, but down the stretch, you know, hey, you got to have some sort of a backup plan, I think. If you're planning on Jake Lamb for next year, you best ought to have somebody on your bench that qualifies at the corner infield spot. So unless something changes next year. So you can plug them in when Lamb decides to go 0 for the month.
315 at-bats in the first half, 10 batted, 279 with a 922 OPS. Second half, 187 at-bats, batting 198 with a 701 OPS. I am seriously considering hoping that to replace him in my lineup with Eduardo Nunez. I'm actually considering that move because Eduardo Nunez has been on my bench because he's hurt, but he's supposed to come back midweek. He has been so bad that I'm considering benching Jake Lamb, yet he is probably a top five third baseman at the end of the year based on his efforts in the first half.
Well, yeah, like I said, you got to have plan B for him because 2 months of a 200 batting average, that don't cut the mustard. It doesn't matter how much he does in the first half. You still have to have some sort of a plan in place. And I know come next year, I'm simply avoiding Jake Lamb. There's a pile of options at third base. I don't have to play with that risk, I don't think, not at that position.
Well, let me ask you for caller Rich Wilson. It's a risk, Tim. Should I sit Jake Lamb for Eduardo Nunez, knowing that Eduardo Nunez might not actually play much, but with the way Jake Lamb has been playing, it's been brutal, and I don't see anything in sight that he's going to improve. What would you do?
I'd probably start Nunez. I really would, because he's not going to hurt you. He's not going to, especially if you're, I'm assuming that's an OBP league, or is it batting average? Or
It's batting average.
It's batting average. Yeah, I would sit him, because if you're in danger of losing points in that category, he could just put you in that situation.
Yeah, I agree. And I've now got enough of a lead in runs. I'm not so worried about losing 3 or 4 runs that Jake Lamb might score for me if I get a 0 from Eduardo Nunez. But Jake Lamb's only playing against righties now. They're sitting him against lefties. So for those of you who are fellow Jake Lamb owners, I feel your pain. The great Tim McClown was smart and does not own Jake Lamb, but unfortunately I do in this one league. Timmy, one guy I wish I owned and I don't is Rhys Hoskins. Rhys Hoskins, Timmy, has been unbelievable. Stat line, 150 plate appearances, and I did go 0 for 5 today with 3 strikeouts. But before today, 150 plate appearances, a 19.3 strikeout rate, a 17.3 walk rate, 18 home runs, 306 batting average, and a very low 256 batting average. I had a Twitter conversation with someone. I said, what do you think Rhys Hoskins could be? And I said, you know, I really like him. I've always liked him, Timmy. I said, probably 30 to 35 home runs, maybe a 260, 270 batting average. I thought that was incredibly bullish. And people jumped on me like there was no tomorrow going, he's way better than that. He's a 300 hitter. Have you seen a stat line? And I guess I can argue that he is the reincarnation of Albert Pujols in his prime. But, Timmy, I'm not ready to go there yet.
Well, no, you know what, I've seen several discussions on the Facebook page concerning Hoskins, and you know what, he's off to an amazing start. I tip my cap to the guy, I tip my cap to his owners. They are absolutely rocking it, but 150 at-bats or plate appearances, you know, at some point in time, there's a hole in his swing somewhere, and pitchers will find it. They did it with Judge, they did it with Bellinger, they did it with Mike Trout, they will do it with Hoskins, and there will be a correction. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be a stiff next year. I like the 30 to 35 home runs, 270, 280 batting average, but I think you have to be a little bit conservative in your approach because we haven't seen that correction yet, and I believe it will occur.
I totally agree with you, Timmy, and I know a lot of our listeners follow me on Twitter, and a lot of people saw the conversations. Look, Tim is smarter than me. Rhys Hoskins might hit 45 home runs and bat 300 next year. He could do that. You can't plan on that, Tim, going into next year, not with 150 plate appearances. Just round it up and say he gets 200 plate appearances for the year. You can't make that call because if you do, that's a second-round draft pick.
Well, I can tell you right now, I will not own Rhys Hoskins in any leagues next year because I can see him going second, third round. And right now I have probably 8 first basemen that I will take ahead of Rhys Hoskins.
It's interesting. What they called out is like, look what he did in AAA, Rich. And they were right, Timmy. 15.8% strikeout rate, a 13.5% walk rate, which is very similar to what he's doing in the major leagues. But if you take a look at his history, it's been more like 2-to-1, the strikeout to walk ratio. And again, Albert Pujols in his prime was walking as many times as he struck out and getting 90% contact rate. I just don't see Reese Hoskins ever being that player. But if he bats 270 next year and hits 35 home runs and I get him as, you know, a 7, 8, 9, 10 first baseman, I'm going to be really, really happy. I'm not going to be happy if I take him in the third round.
Well, yeah, and you won't own him next year, and neither will I. And that's the reason, is because somebody will take him in the third round. Remember that kid that used to play in Toronto? What was his name? Brett Laurie?
Yeah. Absolutely. And but Reese Hoskins can hit. I mean, and that's one of the things I always believed in above a lot of other people. I always thought he could hit. I wish I would have kind of used my own words and owned him, but I didn't.
Right.
But Tim, if I take a look at his profile, it's a little Joey Votto. I mean, that's what he's doing. Tremendous power, 40 home run power, and the ability to get on base a ton. I mean, this is a guy who could be a 380 on-base percentage guy if he stays at this level, and Joey Votto is a second-round pick. So I guess with that as a ceiling and his upside, what we're saying is, great, don't do that in his second year because of the – you know, go see Brett Laurie and a thousand other guys who have done that and then regress. Trevor Story, another example, but that was a little bit easier to tell.
Well, yeah, that one, the strikeouts sort of gave that one away. But, you know, you look, I'm not saying I like Reese Hoskins, and I think he's going to be a good ball player. And I shouldn't have probably used the Brett Laurie comp. But the thing is, we have seen historically over the years, we've seen a lot of good baseball players. Kevin Moss for the Yankees. Remember him? Setting the world on fire.
Yep.
Yeah, there were adjustments. I would like to think that Reese Hoskins is going to adjust, but at the same point in time, I simply can't pay what it's going to cost to own him next year. Now, maybe for 2019, that's a different story, but I can tell you right now, I'll take Cody Bellinger before Reese Hoskins every day of the week. It's not close.
Yeah, I think everybody would on that one. So let me give you a couple other young first basemen. There's a lot of them out there, Timmy, who are Trey Mancini, I think, is still first base. I don't know if he's had enough at bats, but he was coming into this year. Josh Bell, who would you rather have next year, Josh Bell or Reese Hoskins?
Reese Hoskins.
Josh Bell for me.
Okay.
I think Josh Bell can really hit, and I think he's going to – I will say straight up probably Reese Hoskins, but if I factor in – and let me tell you, where you think you're going to factor in taking Josh Bell versus Reese Hoskins, I'd much rather have Josh Bell because I think he can hit the power show this year, and I think he's a lot like Reese Hoskins.
Yeah, I think if you compare – if you're looking at it from a value perspective, yeah, I'm taking Josh Bell before I'm taking Reese Hoskins because I won't touch Hoskins in the third round, and Bell will fall to me somewhere between, I think, round 8-9 and 11-12, somewhere in that range. So, yeah, bang for your buck, you got to go Bell.
So let's do it this way then. Straight up or bang for your buck, or just, nah, not worth it, I'd rather have Reese Hoskins. Reese Hoskins or Dom Smith?
Hoskins.
Yeah, that I would probably go Hoskins there, but Dom Smith, Tim, already has 7 home runs. And you know, if you take a look at the pace, that's a 30 home run pace, which again, 30 home runs is the old 15 home runs. So take that for what it's worth. I always thought Dom Smith would power. I think he will develop the power, and the kid can hit. So again, he might not be probably 10 home runs less than Reese Hoskins, but he's probably going to be a better hitter.
Yeah, I can go along with that. Yeah, and you're going to get him 10 rounds later,
for sure. But I'd much rather have Reese Hoskins. I'm not sure Dom Smith is a first baseman in a 15 team league, but he'd be a guy that I might sneak in late for my corner infield.
Hmm. Yeah, I think he's going to be a sneaky pick next year. I rather like Dom Smith.
A little bit better, I think, than my buddy Brandon Belt. Cody Bellinger, Tim, you've already said Cody Bellinger straight up for Rhys Hoskins. You'd rather have Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, I have Cody Bellinger in my – I have him ranked in my top 8-9 first baseman. He's not even – when I look at this group of five that you've got listed, I don't even have him. He's in a group above this group, Rich.
Okay. How about Matt Olson, who has been – I mean, as good as Rhys Hoskins has been, I mean, Matt Olson's probably been the second hottest rookie here over the last 6 weeks.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Being in Oakland, he's going to slip a little bit as compared to Hoskins. He hasn't been getting the media attention that Hoskins has, but he's sure pounding the ball. I like him. If you're looking for pure power, I think the batting average is going to be a little suspect, but I think Matt Olson could hit 35 home runs next year in his sleep.
He had 294 at bats. I mean, he's hit 23. So you double that, yeah, and you're looking at a 40 home run guy. It's crazy. It's 24.2% strikeout rate and a 13% walk rate. You know, I could see Rhys Hoskins doing a 20% strikeout rate and a 13%, maybe a little bit higher. It's not that far off from Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah, no, He when you look at what you will pay for one versus the other, Olson will be a far better bargain.
How about Trey Mancini, Timmy, who I can't believe he's done what he's doing, but something happens when people play in Baltimore and the ball seems to cough the bat a little bit harder and a little bit further. And Trey Mancini is, you know, if it weren't for Aaron Judge, a lot of people be talking about Trey Mancini for Rookie of the Year.
Oh, yeah, he's had a great year, and he's also, I don't know if he's first base eligible, but the outfield is definitely it. When I rank the five plus Hoskins as six first basemen you've listed, I have Mancini only ahead of one of the players on that list, and that's Dom Smith. He's solid numbers. He's a corner infield option, but I think you're looking at probably 13-14 anyways, first base that you'll take before Mancini.
I agree with that. 5.6 walk rate, not very good. So he's doing a lot of it with a 340 batting average of balls in play, 24 home runs. So he's got good 25-30 home run power, but I think definitely a drop over Rhys Hoskins, Matt Olson, and these other guys. I'm a little higher on Dom Smith in New York because if you have him, how would you rank the sixth then, Timmy? I don't know if you've had a chance to do that. It sounded like Dom Smith was last, followed by Trey Mancini, and then some combination, I guess, Cody Bellinger first, Rhys Hoskins second, Josh Bell third, Matt Olson fourth. Is that how you did it?
I had Olson and Bell flipped around, but yeah, that's the order. I'd Bellinger, Hoskins, Olson, Bell, Mancini, and Smith. That's how I'd rank those six. And the eight that I have ranked ahead of that whole group are Smoke, Votto, Goldschmidt, Rizzo, Abreu, Freeman, and Myers.
Give me the list again, Timmy. I didn't catch the second name.
Okay, Smoke, Votto, Goldschmidt, Rizzo, Abreu, Freeman, and Myers. That's the seven I have ahead.
Wow, well, that's a good seven. Smoke, so you're all in on Smoke then?
I believe him. Yeah, I've watched enough of his games this year. I'm definitely a believer. And if he's still around somewhere in the fourth, fifth round in redraft leagues, I'm pending, of course, who else is available at first base and what, you know, how everything unfolds. I wouldn't hesitate to pick him late fourth, fifth round.
Yeah, I mean, it's the numbers look great. I mean, 20% strikeout rate, 11% walk rate, 278 batting average, a 291 BABIP, so the 280 average looks reasonable. ISO was 272, 38 home runs. Wow, that's probably real. He is 30, though.
Well, like I said, he passes my eye test, and I've watched him a whole bunch, and he simply, in past years, he'd go fishing, and he's not doing that anymore. He's laying off a lot of close pitches, and he looks like an entirely different ball player. And I said, he passes my eye test.
Yeah, I just worry, Timmy. I worry about these guys that all of a sudden hit their stride at age 30, and he was so bad for so long, and I get it. I mean, I get him passing the eye test and so forth, but 31 next year, is this just going to be his outlier year? Is his, you know, that one year where everything kind of comes together and he turns back into Justin Smoke, the 20 home run guy, as opposed to the 40 home run guy?
Well, yeah. And you know, I'll just play devil's advocate. I said the same thing about a guy named Nelson Cruz.
That's true. Nelson Cruz was a late bloomer. You're right. And he had year after year after year of great production.
Yeah. And he still is. And, you know, another guy that you could look at and compare him in that group is JD Martinez. You know, sometimes when players revamp their swing, when they realize that they're in a situation where they have to change if they're going to sustain any sort of a career, they make the moves. And sometimes it works out for the better.
Yeah, Nelson Cruz quietly having another 33 home run season, batting .287 with a .374 on-base percentage and 110 runs batted in.
Yeah, that's nothing wrong with that. And I don't think he had his breakout season until about, 27, 28? It was late, I know that.
It was, let's see here. It was, I'm looking at something that only goes back to 2013, 27 home runs, and then the big one, 2014 with the Orioles, 40, 44, 42, and then probably back to a little bit less this year, 35.
Yeah, that, great numbers, though. And like I said, I think when some of these players get to the stage of their career where it's time to or get off the pot, J.D. Martinez is another great example. He spent one whole offseason reworking his swing, and he hit his 40th today, even with missing all that time, Rich. He's going to get himself a huge contract this year.
I totally agree. Timmy, it's good to talk about the rest of this year, but, boy, is it fun to talk about next season, isn't it?
Oh, well, you know what? Another month and a half, 2 months, and we'll be into mock draft season already. Time does not stand still, my friend.
Oh, my word. How long? When are you going to start mock drafting again?
Beginning of December.
Wow, that's true. It is. It's middle of September. Wow, Timmy, that's amazing. When we get back, we're going to try to identify some players that can help our listeners here over the next couple of weeks. I've only got four guys listed. Hopefully you got another name or two. But the first guy is, I know he's owned everywhere, but maybe my question is Yoan Moncada starting to figure it out? Three home runs, one stolen base, batting .401 this past week, still striking out a ton at 9 and 32 at bats. But I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, he's got the tools, man.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, in the past week, he's led all of Major League Baseball, or he's tied for the lead in runs scored, Rich. Yeah, he's owned everywhere, and he should be active and rolled out everywhere.
All right. Dom Smith, three home runs and batting .350 over the last week. I know we've talked about it. He's hot, Timmy. A lot of people, he's still sitting on a lot of more shallow leagues. I think he's a guy that people should consider because we know that if the Mets play, let's call it 13 games over the next 2 weeks, he's going to probably play in 12 of them.
Yeah, no, you got to have Dom Smith active, totally.
A guy you brought up last week, Teoscar Hernandez, two home runs and batting .391 this past week. A guy that should be picked up, should be owned.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he hasn't hit for any power this week, but he's still hitting for average. He's still getting on base. Eventually, he'll drive a few runs in, but he's going to play, and that's the key.
Boog Powell, not the Boog Powell, but the younger Boog Powell, batting .389. He hit a home run this week, Timmy. Boog Powell, a kid that I've seen a bunch in the minor leagues. I think can hit. I'm not sure how much power he has. But what about Boog Powell?
I'm a little concerned about Boog. I think there's some other options out there. I think he's only playing this week. I think he sat for two games, if I'm not mistaken, or got one at bat in. So I don't know if Powell is going to play full time, and there might be options out there for full time players that'll fill the role a little bit better.
Okay. Would you have any thoughts there?
Well, yeah. The first one is A rolling Moss gathers no stones. We got to look at Brandon Moss. 4 homers and 11 RBIs in the past 7 days, Rich.
I almost put him down, Timmy, but I figured, wow, isn't Brandon Moss owned all over the place? But no, because in a couple of leagues I was looking at, he is not owned. You're right. Brandon Moss is a guy that's streaky, and when he's streaky, man, he can hit a lot of home runs.
Well, yeah, right now he's hot, so you got to get him out there. How about Zach Cozart? He's hit 4 home runs in the past week. I don't know how many leagues Cozart's owned in, but I would have to think there's an opportunity there.
Hit 2 home runs yesterday, if I believe, Timmy, because I own him, of course, in the league that we go head-to-head in, DL2.
Oh, okay. Congratulations to you. How about Eric Thames? He's hit 3 home runs in the past week, and despite what all the naysayers said, he actually broke the 30 barrier, Rich. A lot of people not happy with Thames, but he's still playing, still producing.
Yeah, he's pretty much become, though, a platoon player. I worry about him next year, but for this year, Tim, if you owned him in a rotisserie league and you count the 30 home runs and the really good on-base percentage, you could have done a lot worse than Eric Thames getting him very, very late. Congratulations if you own Eric Thames.
Yeah, no, like I said, especially in OBP leagues, he's definitely been an asset. Here's a blast from the past, Rich. Jacoby Ellsbury. All of a sudden, he has actually turned into a ball player. In the past 2 weeks, couple stolen bases, 9 runs scored, and a 538 OBP. Playing every day for the Yankees.
Yeah, the Yankees, Timmy, are the Yankees going to catch the Red Sox? I don't think so. What do you think?
I don't think so, but we'll see them in the postseason.
Eric Thames, .242 batting average, a .354 on-base percentage, 31 home runs, only 59 RBIs, is primarily because they had him at batting number 2 most of the year. That's
right.
Been the one bummer thing, is just the runs batted in were not there. But that 354 OPP, thank you very much, Timmy. I will take that any day of the week.
Yeah, how many runs scored for Thames, Rich?
79. Yeah, 79, okay. But 59 RBIs. That's almost as good as Chris Bryant.
Yeah, pretty much so, and you didn't pay the same price for him, guaranteed. How about Alan Hansen? 2 stolen bases in the past week, 6 runs scored.
I know. I've always loved Alan Hansen. I was watching the White Sox game last night and just beaming from ear to ear when he was playing really well. I still believe, Timmy, he can be a ball player. He's probably going to be a utility guy, but I still think he has a chance to be more than that, particularly from a fantasy standpoint, if he just gets the at-bats.
Well, that's the key. He's only playing part-time right now, but even playing part-time, if you need a boost in stolen bases, hey, he's definitely going to run. And so far this year, he hasn't been Charlie Tilson, but that's a good thing.
Yeah, poor Charlie Tilson, Timmy. I don't know. I don't know if he's – he might not make it, man. He just might not make it.
Yeah, that's losing a year – now, granted, Adam Engel doesn't look like the next coming either, but – man, he's going to have a good spring next year, or else Mr. Tilson, you're right, he might just not make it.
Adam Engel was the Arizona Fall League 2015 MVP, Timmy. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, no, the wheels are definitely there, but I've never been a huge believer myself. But who knows? Who knows?
Who else you got, Tim?
I got a couple pitchers here. Ben Lively in Philly, he's had 3 consecutive good starts. Yeah, Jake Thompson's another guy you could look at throwing out there. Daniel Mengden in Oakland, 2 earned runs in his past 2 starts. I think he pitched a full 9 innings in his game. Was it yesterday or today? Tyler Anderson, great start coming off the DL. There's a few pitchers out there that I think you can key on, and the key there is, if you're looking at picking up this week, try and get guys, if you can, that are pitching on Wednesday, Thursday. That way you'll have the option of those 2 starts in the final week, especially if you're dealing with pitchers that aren't pitching on contending teams. You know they're going to make their starts, so try and target, try and get 3 starts out of the last 2 weeks.
So what the kids say to me is when you come up with, you and I are of older generations, we call that a trick, kind of thinking ahead and looking at stuff like getting that midweek start so you get 2 weeks, two starts the next week. What the kids will say is that's a hack. So Timmy, so I'm going to start, when I use the word hack, that's what I mean. It's like a trick. So you get three starts over 2 weeks, but instead of a trick move, it's a hack.
A hack to me is throwing up a lung because I smoke too much, Rich.
Okay, well, so that's the millennials, man. That's what they say are hacks, man. So I want to talk about Jake Thompson, though, because it's a guy that came over. He was a big part of that Cole Hamels trade back a couple of years ago. I always thought he was like a number four starter, but when I was doing the two-star pitchers and he's out on that list, I was actually really surprised about how well he has done.
Yeah, it's weird because if you look at his numbers, he's an every other start sort of guy. It seems like past five, six starts, every other start has been great. The ones in between have sucked. So pick your moments with Jake Thompson if the trend continues.
For sure. Tim, you've given our listeners a ton of great names there, and I gave him a handful of names. So it's probably about 15 names in total. So have at it.
Yeah, have fun with it, and good luck to everybody with their last-minute gambles.
Tim, I think the Indians just were a tremendous story here over the last 3 weeks. I mean, they finally lost 22-0, but it was fun. I mean, in most of the games, particularly early in the streak, probably the first 16 or 17 games weren't even close. It didn't start to become nail-biters till they got towards the end. Maybe they were tightening up a little bit, but my question for you is, are they good enough to make it back to the World Series? Are they the Kansas City Royals of 2 years ago who lost in the World Series the previous year and then wound up winning the next year?
Well, you know, that 1-2 with Carrasco and Kluber, that's pretty much locked down, shut them out. And Trevor Bauer as your number three isn't too shabby either. If they can go with a three-man rotation, and in a seven-game series, I don't think you can rule it out. They got a pretty solid 1-2-3. They're going to be tough to beat.
Didn't they go with a one-man rotation last year, Tim? And they almost won the whole thing, if not for a thunderstorm coming up in the bottom of the ninth inning or extra innings. They could have won the whole thing.
Well, it was a great series, and you know, hey, they are just as good this year as they were last year. So, as you know, heading in, to be able to say that they're not going to be there, I think is foolhardy. I think obviously your best two teams are the Astros and the Indians, but it's going to be a fun playoff. But I think Cleveland has the horses; they can get back there this year. And maybe end that streak of futility. I think they go back to 47 or 52. It's a long time.
You know, Verlander is really good, Timmy. He's got a little bit left, and all of a sudden, Keuchel might be finally putting it back together. All of a sudden, you've got a 1-2 combination there of Keuchel and Verlander that could go straight up against Carrasco and hold their own. That's going to be a really, really good series. And, you know, I think Houston's got a better offense, but, man, the Cleveland Indians are really good. I mean, Francisco Lindor, another guy, Timmy, Francisco Lindor is 5'10", has got 30 home runs.
Yeah, no, he's having an amazing season. I'd like to see the stolen bases a bit higher, but, hey, if you're looking for all-around shortstops, he's definitely one of the top three, four in the game.
But you want more solid, Timmy. He's got 14. How many do you want to see? 20?
Yeah. I'm greedy. I always want to see more stolen bases, Rich. If he had 20, I'd say 21.
But this is a kid, Tim, who is 23 years old and already has 30 home run power. I mean, again, I don't know what's going on in Major League Baseball. It's the ball. We've talked about it ad nauseum. But Francisco Lindor, if he can hit 30 at age 23, he can hit 35 at age 26. So it's a big boy player, and I think a top three shortstop, particularly if he continues to steal mid-teens stolen bases. I mean, what's Carlos Correa hitting? What's Corey Seager? What are those guys doing? Nothing. They're not stealing any bases.
I would rather have Lindor hit 20 home runs next year and steal 25 bases than the other way around. How's that?
Why don't you call him up and tell him that, Timmy? I'm sure he will agree. I'm sure he would do it.
Well,
for
you know what? Yeah, well, all I need is one thing, and I do that, Rich. But somehow he hasn't forwarded me his number and address yet. So I'm SOL. What can I say?
So, Timmy, let me compare a couple of other young shortstops to Mr. Lindor. And who would you rather have? This is straight up, not where you're going to have to get it, because I think they're all going to somewhat go here together. Corey Seager, who could be the NL MVP. He'll be in the top three consideration. Or Francisco Lindor. Timmy, who do you want next year?
Lindor.
No question, right?
No question.
I agree. Dr. Mrsek's great Elvis Andrews, who is one of the few guys that's 2020 this year, or Francisco Lindor. Who do you want next year?
I want Lindor, but I won't be upset if I end up with Andrus. How's that?
He'll be cheaper, Timmy, because you know why? Because he's old. I mean, it's like everybody knows Elvis Andrus. They got to go, it's Elvis Andrus. Dr. Mrsek believes in the power, and if the power is even 80% right, I mean, all of a sudden you're looking at a different type of player.
Yeah, like I said, I definitely want Lindor ahead of him, but I won't complain if I have Andrus next year.
Here's one to me I didn't put in the list. I apologize. Carlos Correa or Francisco Lindor?
Oh, I'm going to go with Lindor.
I'm going to go with Lindor, Timmy, and who would have thought that? But they might have the same power now. Lindor can really hit, too, and Lindor's got more speed. I mean, unless Carlos Correa starts stealing bases again, you know, I don't need a 30-home run bat batting 300. I need some stolen bases.
Yeah, if you take the stolen bases out of the equation, I'll take Correa. But that's not the way we play this game. Lindor is going to steal at least 15 stolen bases, I'll give him next year, as a bare minimum. And Correa, unless he gets back up into the 10 to 15 range, the power advantage that I see with Correa is offset by the speed game from Lindor, so you got to go with him.
Here's the last one, Timmy. Trey Turner or Francisco Lindor?
Trey Turner.
Yeah,
no,
same.
No hesitation.
No hesitation, I agree. So Trey Turner's the number one shortstop off the board.
Yeah, by my rankings, he will definitely be the number one shortstop. He's one of a handful of players that will, if he stays healthy, will put you in a very good situation in the stolen base, runs scored, and he will give you 10 to 15 home runs to boot. Trey Turner is going to be a huge player next year and moving forward.
Manny Machado, Timmy, will also have shortstop eligibility in most leagues because I think he played a lot of shortstop this year. Assuming he does, is he your second guy off the board, or is Francisco Lindor ahead of him because of the stolen bases? Manny Machado doesn't steal bases, maybe hits 35, 40 home runs, but if Francisco Lindor might hit 32, 33 home runs.
Well, what's the difference between Manny Machado other than the fact that he has more of a, you know, a consistent resume? What's the difference between Machado and Correa?
What's the difference between Machado and Seager? Aren't they all similar guys, potential for 300
yep.
batting average, lots of runs, lots of RBIs and 30 home runs, and no stolen bases?
Exactly. So it depends on how much weight you put on stolen bases. And looking at what we might have to look forward to next year, if I have a choice between Machado and Lindor, I'll probably take Lindor.
I think I will, Tim, as well. And again, I think you and I are thinking along the same path here. And it's all about the 15 stolen bases. All those other guys, Timmy, besides Elvis Andrus, are to give me five or less stolen bases, unless Manny Machado, unless Buck Showalter loses the battle, front office battle or nonsense that they keep talking about in Baltimore and gets out of there. And then Machado starts stealing bases again, or the Orioles start stealing bases again. I'd much rather have Francisco Lindor, and I think Manny Machado is one of the best players in baseball, but from a fantasy standpoint, give me the 15 stolen bases.
Well, yeah, it's got to be about us. It's got to be about our game. And when you start looking at team construction, that 15 stolen bases, I think you'll find the difference in home runs between Manny Machado and Francisco Lindor. You can find the difference in home runs in round 15 through to 23. I don't think you're going to find the stolen bases at that point in our game.
Yeah, well, let's take a look at the RBIs. I mean, Manny Machado, I mean, Showalter has him batting all over the place. It could be number two, number three batter in the lineup. And Lindor, I think, is batting third pretty consistently. So there might be more RBI opportunity for Lindor than there is even for Machado.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating offseason. But again, so much I think of how we value these players is going to be in the concept of how we build our teams. And I think as we look at the stolen base category and the options that are there for that category, I think team construction is going to be oh so important next year. You might not be taking the best player at a particular point in the draft on paper, but that the options of the, say, lesser player, if they give you that well-rounded, those well-rounded totals, the best player might not, in fact, be the best player, Rich.
Yeah, I agree. Manny Machado, 91 RBIs. Francisco Lindor, 81 RBIs. Two more home runs for Manny Machado as well, but comparable from a power and driving in runs. And Timmy, talk about team construction for next year. I think team construction is all about stolen bases. I mean, if you either have to punt it or not, and if you decide to play in the stolen base category, you've got to go early and often for stolen bases, which I think is going to drive what you want to do. If you don't, it become, I think you're chasing it all year, and I think it becomes a really, really tough year.
Well, I think it's almost, but not quite to the stage of closers.
Yep.
You know, you pay a premium for your elite guys and have that reassurance, okay, that they're there. Or do you go late on it, play the game, and spend all year chasing it? And maybe it's an age thing, a veteran player. I don't want to try and chase it if I don't have to, Rich. It's too frustrating.
No, I totally agree with you, Timmy. And as opposed to speed, as opposed to the difference between speed and saves, though, saves kind of come into the league as guys lose their job and so forth. Usually speed comes in the league sometimes with a minor league player coming up, but everybody knows those elite minor league players that are coming up and stealing bases. Every once in a while, you have a Chris Taylor that will steal close to 20 bases and kind of come out of nowhere. But that's a fewer and farther between than, you know, somebody coming up and grabbing 20 saves for you in a fantasy team.
Well, yeah, and the last thing I want to be doing, and I've been doing this for years, is to go into the Juan Pierre types late and hoping that Jared Dyson will steal 30 or Rajay Davis will steal 25. I don't want to play that game. That's too much risk for me.
David Price is back, Timmy, and it looks like it's in relief. He pitched a clean inning today. Any reason to start him in a weekly league? I mean, he could get, you know, two or three outings of two or three innings apiece and, you know, a chance for a win. I mean, I'm stretching here a little bit. I mean, he is a good pitcher.
Yeah, he was a good pitcher. What are we going to see, though, over the last 2 weeks? I would just avoid the whole situation. There's still strikeout pitchers available that you can get that don't have the name recognition, but we'll more than get the job done. So I wouldn't be chasing David Price.
Steven Strasburg's getting hit hard by the Dodgers tonight. Timmy, I don't know if you're watching the game. Just rockets off everybody's bat. He gave up an earned run, but it shouldn't have been an earned run because Michael Taylor basically dropped the ball in the outfield. I'm surprised they called it an earned run. But, man, he is getting hit hard.
Well, yeah, I'm just looking at the hit by Turner. What's up with that beard by Turner? Man, that's a wild look, ain't it?
Timmy, look, my friend, you had a beard that was close to that length, maybe longer. I saw pictures.
Oh, that was a different Tim. That was long ago and far away, different galaxy. That was the rebel Tim, okay?
My hair is getting quite long, Timmy. I definitely can pull it back in a ponytail now and just getting started. I don't go back to the barber until the middle of November. So it's going to be, it's going to be pretty long here in the next few weeks. Pretty stoked about it.
Well, yeah, I trimmed mine all up, Rich, and I've got like 3 bottles of conditioner in the house, so mine's going to look pretty spectacular too. Right?
Wow, Tim with the conditioner, very, very impressed. My hair looks like crap, Tim. I mean, my lovely wife hates it, but she refuses to say it because she says, "Look, if this is as bad as it gets, I'm okay with it." So I'm like, "Okay, cool." So,
well, you know, Rich, as you're with somebody longer, you learn when to and when not to pick your battles, and that doesn't seem like it's one worth picking, right?
No. Timmy, Thor may be back this next week, and now they're saying no. Look, is it me, or am I scared to death of Noah Syndergaard? It was a lat strain, and that's usually, 6 weeks to recover from?
Yeah, this is a very, very serious lat issue, Rich. It's now been... 5 months?
Yeah, I mean, you owned him, Timmy, so you probably have the date etched in your kitchen table. It had to be sometime in late April.
Actually, I didn't bother etching it in. What I did is I only owned him in one league, and it was Tote, and I flipped him for the cash. In Tote, if you've got an injured player, you can flip him for your original investment, and they roll it back into your fab. I got rid of Thor 2 months ago, 2.5, 3 months ago, something like that.
His last game started 1 1/3 innings, April 30th at Washington. That was the last game that he pitched. Gave up 5 earned runs in those inning and a third, Timmy, and we never saw him again.
5 months, and he's still not ready to go. I can tell you right now how many leagues I'm going to own Thor in next year, and the number is zippo. I'm staying away. I realize he can be a dominant and very good pitcher, but I'm not going to roll a dice on him after what's happened this year. I want to see a year of Thor pitching before I start buying in again.
Yeah, Timmy, just for your own sanity, you can't redraft a guy who destroyed your league. You can't do it, even if all the stars say you should pick him up. I mean, there is this karma. There's something about it. It's like, because you know, if you pick him up and he is terrible, you'll simply want to never look at whatever team that you drafted him on ever again, because you'll be so disgusted with yourself.
Well, yeah, once bitten, twice shy. Twice bitten, well, you're pretty much a dumbass, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much. What about Tyler Skaggs? I mean, as a guy that we didn't mention as a potential pickup. I mean, Tyler Skaggs, good lefty with the Angels. Angels playing fairly well. He's been pitching well. What about Tyler Skaggs for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, hey, throw him out there. There's very, very few pitchers that I won't start in the next couple of weeks, simply because I don't think even in the most ugliest of situations, they can do that much damage, especially in Roto. In head-to-head, different story, but not in Roto.
I totally agree with you, Timmy. We're going to take a quick final break, and when we get back, let's do some 2-star pitchers.
Sounds good.
Tim, I never thought we'd have an hour worth of content, but we made it an hour, probably going to be finished up in an hour and 15 minutes. I'm pretty proud of us.
Well, yeah. You know, Rich, I think we can always find something to chat about when it comes to baseball. And, you know, you start looking at, you know, first base, you know, hey, next week, maybe we can look at shortstop or third base and toss some ideas around as far as next year is concerned. But the game is so dynamic, there's always something we can find to talk about.
Yeah, I think we talked about short base, shortstop, Tim, right? They were with Francisco Lindor.
Oh, yeah, okay, no, yeah, okay, sorry.
That's okay. Tim, once again,
nobody
not won't. Paying attention.
Yeah. How the heck did I make it through that segment? That had to be the best BS and I done in a long time, Rich.
It's pretty funny, Tommy. Very, very funny. You know, it is once again reminding our listeners that you never listen to me, Timmy. They don't even listen to anything I say. I talk 10 minutes about Francisco Lindor. Don't even remember it.
Pardon?
Let's do some two-star pitchers, Timmy. I know we can pick up any one of these, and they're better than not starting anybody, maybe. But we're looking for maybe the best of the bunch here, or guys that just like, oh, my gosh, it's going to be a disaster. Don't even waste your time. First one is Martin Perez, who I traded the great Tim McLeod. I traded him for Asdrubal Cabrera. Maybe it was the other way around. They both of them sucked, so there was no winner in that particular trade. Anyway, he goes at Seattle and Mike Leake, and at Oakland and Gerald Cotton. The last three starts, 2-1. You like that? 4.24. You like that? 17 innings pitched, 13 strikeouts, and 6 walks. Martin Perez.
I didn't like him, Rich, when I traded him to you. I'm not going to pick him up again, not under any circumstances. I got to walk away from Martin Perez. I'm going to say that Seattle, Haniger and crew are going to pummel him. And because I own Mike Leake and it's all about me, I got to go for Mike Leake. So no on Perez.
It's funny, Martin Perez is coming through the minor leagues as I started to do scouting and writing and things like that. And Martin Perez was probably a top five lefty in the minor leagues kind of coming up. And I think everybody thought that he would be a league average pitcher, and he's pretty much at best a league average pitcher. But yet he was considered one of the best pitching prospects coming through. And to me, that's kind of the crapshoot that we call prospecting. I mean, it is, you know, you rate these guys and they sometimes wind up who they are. And sometimes it's just an number four, number five pitcher. That's who Martin Perez is.
Well, yeah, I can remember another one that comes really, really to mind was because they both came up at basically the same time. And that was Rafael Montero and Jake DeGrom. And Montero came up first, and everybody was chasing Montero in a big way. He was going to be the next coming, and I can remember picking up Jake DeGrom in a couple of redraft leagues, and I absolutely loved it because even though he wasn't the higher ranked of the two, the results are there, right?
I picked up Jake DeGrom a couple months before he got called up because I had saw someone beating him, and I said, oh, my gosh, this guy's great. Nobody had ever heard of him. Yeah. He wasn't even in CBS at the moment, and I picked him up. So, yeah, it's sometimes guys develop late, and you just got to keep after it. And sometimes famous guys, Timmy, like Martin Perez, wind up being, you know, a major leaguer. He'll make more money than you and I have, but he's not that good.
No, he's Martin Perez.
He's Martin Perez. Gerald Cotton, Timmy, Oakland Athletics, 9% started in CBS leagues at Detroit, and one of the best 80 grade names, Buck Farmer, and also home against the aforementioned Martin Perez with Texas. Last three, 1-0, 14 innings pitch, 8 strikeouts, 7 walks, and a 9 ERA. How about Gerald Cotton?
Hey, he's pitching against Martin Perez. He's got my nod.
All right, there you go. Jake Flaherty, Timmy. He might have pitched today. I don't remember. But anyway, CBS had him down yesterday as a two-star pitcher. St. Louis, 8% started at Cincinnati, and to be announced. It was supposed to be Tyler Mahle, but I know Tyler Mahle's been shut down for the rest of the season just because they don't want to abuse him. And at Pittsburgh, and Steve Brault. Former Oriole, lots of former Oriole pitchers doing very well. I want to tell everybody that because I've been working all week. That's the nice thing about this surgery. Been writing like a fiend. I'm halfway done my write-ups, and I haven't even published anything yet, so I'm very, very happy. And I'm working on the Baltimore Orioles and ripping the Baltimore Orioles to shred based on how they've developed pitching. And all of the good pitchers, Zach Davies, for instance, winner, I think he's got the most number of wins in the National League, all have left. And the guys that have stayed have all been hurt.
Yeah, but Wells has got to be up at the top of your list, Rich. Come on, the kid is going to be an all-star.
Who? David Wells? Who?
David. The Orioles minor league pitcher of the year, our young Australian southpaw, Mr. Wells.
Oh, I'm not familiar with Mr. Wells. I haven't got to. He's that. He didn't make my top 15, Timmy. So, sorry, I'm not up on Australian-born, except for Thorpe. I have Thorpe ranked in the Minnesota Twins organization. So, coming back from Tommy John surgery and getting good reports on him. But let me go back and review Wells again. Maybe I'll sneak him in there ahead of some other Baltimore Orioles. And, you know, they have a pretty good system. But it's frustrating, Timmy, because these pitchers – they screw up. I'm going to tell you what they do. because you can watch this on Bundy, you can watch him on Gausman, you can watch it on Hunter Harvey. They're going to do the same thing to the kid they just drafted this year. What they do is they like their guys to throw cross body because it provides some deception. So right-handed guys, they put on the third base side of the rubber, and then they come across their body to throw because, again, provides deception. But they're all getting hurt, and they can't figure it out that these guys are getting hurt and to stop doing that. And I have it on very good scouting that Hunter Harvey, once he moved to the right side of the rubber, the Orioles had him do that in a second year. His arm started to hurt, and they kept having him throw and throw and throw until he blew out his elbow. And, you know, and now he's going to be 25 years old before he makes it to the major leagues, and it's going to be what could have been. So I'm very down on the Baltimore Orioles and their ability to develop pitchers.
Yeah, no, check out Alex Wells. The last time he issued a walk was June 27th. Okay. He's 20 years old. First year full season A ball, 11-5, 9-1 whip, 2.38 ERA as a 20-year-old.
Yeah, I got to find out what he's throwing to me, so I can't just look at his Alex Wells. I can't just. He's a lefty. Okay, that's good. So lefty, 6'1", 190 pounds. I mean, I saw Delmarva a lot. I'm surprised I didn't catch him. Oh my gosh, he doesn't walk anybody.
He doesn't walk anybody. Now, granted, he's not going to fit your profile because he doesn't throw at 95. He throws at 90, 91. But the kid's got phenomenal control, and I think he's worthy of a mention. I'm gonna try and use my influence here for at least give him a look, Rich. He's our minor league pitcher of the year.
I'm gonna have anybody listening to the podcast that has some inside information, not inside, just tell me what Wells stuff is. I don't have anything on him. There's a lot of baseball guys that listen to the podcast. Just fire me off an email and tell me, give me a profile of Alex Wells, and we'll talk about him next week, Timmy, because I know you and Boris, your Australian friend, you're looking for the next great Australian guy to make it to the big leagues.
We have to. It's a rule.
Has anybody made it who's Australian?
Dave Nelson was a pretty good player when he was playing for Milwaukee. Catcher?
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah.
The Bee Gees. The Bee Gees are Australian, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, definitely. As is AC/DC.
That's true. That's true. You know, it's funny, Timmy. There's this crazy commercial on with Walmart that's Night Fever. I sit and watch it every time it comes on. And I never liked the Bee Gees growing up, but dang it, that song's not catchy.
I absolutely hated the Bee Gees in their disco era. Oh, man, I was a rocker. I actually, now that I've gotten a little bit older and a bit more senile, I liked the Bee Gees the first generation until they got too much into the pointing fingers and white suits, eh?
Was that pre-falsetta, or were they still singing falsetta? Because the Saturday Night Fever is when Barry Gibb started to sing in falsetta, and that's what made them, like, big. And that Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, there's some pretty cool songs on that from the Bee Gees.
Okay.
Timmy, we're off the rails here. It's 9:15 now. We're on Jarrell Cotton. I don't know how I got off on the Orioles. But no, I was on Steve Waugh. We were on
bringing up Alex Wells, okay?
I was Stephen. It was Stephen Brault with the Pittsburgh. So Jack Flaherty, Timmy, or young pitcher, a lot of promise, a guy out of Westland High School and Westmoreland High School in California, the same place that had Lucas Giolito and Max Fried. So good pedigree out there. What about Jack Flaherty?
Yeah, I got to go with him. At Cincinnati and TBA, Cincinnati, yeah, he's I'm gonna pencil him in for a win in the first game, Rich.
Luis Gohara, Timmy, is going to be a dude. Can hit triple digits. He's lefty. He's 1-1. He's got a 2-start week this week. I didn't even write down who he's starting against. I just realized that. Young kid started off in the Seattle organization. I don't know who they traded him for, but Atlanta got a really, really good pitcher. I've written up the Braves organization. He is extremely high in there. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know who's going up against, Timmy, but this is going to be a dude.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a really, really good pitcher, but He's going up against Jake Thompson, who I'm going to bet on the second game. So I'm going to pass on Gohara and go with Jake Thompson, his competition in the second game, Atlanta.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I forgot. I did a poor job. I did not put who he's up against. Jake Thompson, 1% owned in CBS League, home against Kershaw. And at Atlanta, Luis Gohara, last three, 1-1, 16 and a third starts, 13 strikeouts, 6 walks, a 3.31 ERA, pitching very, very well. Sounds like you're taking Jake.
Yeah, I'm counting on him surviving the Dodgers offense and Kershaw, because I doubt very much he's going to get the win in the first one, but I like him against Atlanta in the second one. So I'm going with Thompson, yeah.
Chad Bell, 0% owned, less than 1% ownership. So you can pick him up if you want him. Home against Oakland and Daniel Gossett, who's been pitching okay. And home against Minnesota and Jose Berríos, who Tim has said that he's tired. I like the honesty, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm a fantasy owner. I don't want to hear that. So he says he's tired.
Yeah, I'm going to pass, Rich. I don't think there's any way you're going to be saved by the bell.
Timmy, 12 innings pitch, 0-2 in his last three starts, 10 strikeouts, 6 walks, a 9.75 ERA. Yeah, I think it's time to pass on Chad Bell.
Yes.
Timmy, what a great show. I loved it. Thanks so much for coming on. And can you believe it? We've got 2 weeks left.
Yeah, I can. Based on my team records, yeah, I can believe it. And like you said, next year will be a better year, Rich. And all I want to do now is just wish all of our listeners all the best in the final 2 weeks. Go get them and hopefully bring back the gold in the next couple of weeks, guys. It's been a long season, and good luck to you.
I agree, Timmy. So as we end this podcast, as promised, Timmy, I'm going to do my public service announcement for anybody who has a hernia surgery or thinks they might have a hernia, which a lot of men and actually a lot of women do as well. They go through childbirth. It's basically, Timmy, it's whether it's a sports hernia or a genial hernia or whatever they call it. It's basically something pokes through the lining of your intestines, your stomach, that shouldn't be poking through, and they've got to push it back in and sew it up. And it's relatively minor, but you have to cut through tissue, usually your abdomen, your lower abdomen, to kind of repair it. So that's basically what hernia surgery is, and it happens a lot. And the guy I went to, he does six every week. He does them all on Monday, and he does six of them right in a row, boom, boom, boom. And it's just one doctor in north of New Jersey who's doing this. So I talked to him at length. I talked to my brother, who's had multiple hernia surgeries. That's one of the reasons I had it done, because of a family history of weak abdominal areas, and clearly I had one. And I talked to a lot of other people who had hernia surgery. And, Timmy, no one told me this. So
I can't believe it, Rich. I really can't.
So surgery is done. And I'm all sore. Everything, I look down there, Timmy, and, you know, you kind of get shaved, so you look like a little boy. That's kind of embarrassing. And everything looks good. You know, I don't have a lot of bruising or anything like that. Wednesday, I wake up, and I go to the bathroom, which, again, at yours and my age, Timmy, you have to go to the bathroom a lot. And I pull down my pants, and I look at my equipment. And my equipment, Timmy, is black and blue. I mean, we're talking like it looks like it looked like that grape that sat in my refrigerator for I mean, it was horrifying to me. And I looked at it, I go, oh my God. So it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. So I wait for Lori to wake up. And she goes, hey, how's it going? How you feeling? I'm feeling pretty good, but I have a problem. She goes, what's the problem? I need you to look at something. And, you know, and I said, I need you to look at my equipment. And she goes, why? And I go.
The boys are feeling a little blue.
Yeah, the boys are feeling a little blue. And she said, look, I had nothing to do with that. I think they're a little blue. They're a little bruised. And she looks at it to me. It's not the boys. It's everything. I mean, everything is black and blue. And she looks at it and she goes, I really can't tell it doesn't look too bad to me. If it makes you feel better, maybe you should call the doctor, which, Tim, red flags went off. I like, oh my God, it's as bad as I thought it was. Because there's no way Lori would have said, oh my God, it looks terrible. But that's basically what she said when she said, maybe if you're feeling uncomfortable, that's a nice way of saying you better call the doctor. So yes. I wait for the doctor's office. Long 2 hours, Timmy. Doctor's office calls at 8:30, 8:31. I'm on the phone. Got to talk to the doctor. Hi, Mr. Wilson. How you doing? I'm doing good. Don't have as much pain as I did yesterday. Starting to feel better. Can I talk to the doctor? I want to talk to him about an issue. Well, doctor's not in today. The nurse practitioner will talk to you. Nurse practitioner, Tim, named Edna. Is it Edna? Whatever her name was.
Edna, nice.
And it was not Edna. Oh, I forgot her name. It was an old fashioned sounding name. I go, oh dear God, this is not good. So I'm starting to sweat now that I got to have this uncomfortable conversation with Edna, the nurse practitioner. So I wait for a couple of minutes, and my wife's sitting there, you know, waiting for me to talk to him. And hey, hi Edna, how you doing? Good, good, Miss Wilson, how you feeling? I'm feeling pretty good, but an issue has come up. It's a little embarrassing, and I don't know how to really say it. And she goes, you're here, you're calling to tell me that your penis is black and blue. Just like that, Timmy, as medical as possible. And I went, yes, I am. she goes, well, it happens to 90% of the people have this surgery. It's completely normal. It will subside in another few days a week. There's nothing to worry about. And I go, thank God. I said, because I'm looking at it right now, and honestly, it looks like it's about ready to shrivel off and fall off. And Timmy, I thought it was being funny. And she goes, Mr. Wilson, we've never had a case where anybody's penis has fallen off. I don't think you have to worry about that. And I'm like, okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
In other words, what you're saying is you are never, ever going to see this nurse practitioner again face to face, are you?
I'm never seeing her. In fact, I had a choice to see her or the doctor, you know, for my follow-up. I'm seeing the doctor.
Right.
No way in hell I'm going to go see Edna. No way in hell I'm going to go see her. So anyway, all is good, but that's my public service announcement, Timmy, that your equipment is known to get black and blue. And I'm telling you, like, it looked like somebody took a shoe to my crotch and just started kicking away. I mean, it is not good. Go ahead.
You know, you would think, Rich, that's like information that you need to know maybe like before they send you home, just as a public service announcement to you.
So I called my brother up, who's had the surgery twice, both sides.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, Ed, it's Rich. Hey, how you feeling? Pretty good, pretty good. Question for you. Did your equipment turn black and blue? He goes, oh, yeah. Like, that would have been helpful to tell me. Don't you think you should have told your brother that? He goes, nah, I thought about it, but I figured you'd figure it out pretty quickly. I'm like, dude, come on now.
Well, you know, Rich, another consolation, you don't have to send him a Christmas card or present this year.
He is off the birthday card list and off the Christmas card list, there is for sure. He will get nothing from me this year. It was a miserable 3 hours before I got confirmation that, in fact, all was well. And, Timmy, all is truly well. But if you're ever getting a hernia, remember this conversation. Do not panic. Most of it looks that way to me. It was a hideous scene, though.
I was going to say, I couldn't imagine waking up. No, that waking up to that hideous is, I think you covered it, Rich.
Yeah, it was not good. Timmy, great show. Appreciate you being on. We've got one more week of fantasy talk. And then, Timmy, 2 weeks from today, we're in the off season, my friend.
Well, no, I think we're into AFL season, aren't we? We must be looking at scheduling some sort of a show to come up in the next 2-3 weeks, or we start reviewing some of the lads that are going to be playing in the desert this year, right?
We'll do that. We'll take a look at playoffs. There'll be free agent signings. Timmy, it's going to be a fun off season. And another kind of thought-provoking off season, we try to figure out steals versus home runs and strikeouts versus not strikeouts and OBP leagues versus batting. I mean, the game's gotten more complicated, and it's because of this damn live ball. It's just made it harder.
Well, yeah, and just think, Rich, in about 6 months, we'll be doing our annual mock draft show.
I can't wait, Timmy. 45,000 people last year downloaded that thing. So, Timmy, great show. We'll talk to you next Sunday. Everybody, good luck with your teams, except for those in DL2 and DL4. I hope your teams suck this week. Be well, Tim.
Yes, you and the boys. Be well, my friend.
Thank you. So covered rooftops and broken down stages, filling my head. Can I please fill your heart with last summer's breakdown and this winter's dump start? Closing my eyes and dragging my feet. I'm praying for rainstorms and earthquakes I see. With little remiss, 3 years I have changed. How boring would life be if we all stayed the same? Give me a touch. Broken down stages.